A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses, hearing the voice of the Lord from the burning bush, said to him, "When I go to the children of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' if they ask me, 'What is his name?' what am I to tell them?" God replied, "I am who am." Then he added, "This is what you shall tell the children of Israel: I am sent me to you." God spoke further to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the children of Israel: The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, this my title for all generations. Go and assemble the elders of Israel and tell them, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me and said, I am concerned about you and about the way you are being treated in Egypt. So I have decided to lead you up out of the misery of Egypt into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, a land flowing with milk and honey. Thus they will heed your message. Then you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, 'The Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has sent us word. Permit us then to go a 3 days' journey in the desert, that we may offer sacrifice to the Lord our God. Yet I know that the king of Egypt will not allow you to go unless he is forced. I will stretch out my hand, therefore, and smite Egypt by doing all kinds of wondrous deeds there. After that, he will send you away.'" The word of the Lord. The Lord remembers his covenant forever. Give thanks to the Lord, invoke his name, make known among the nations his deeds, recall the wondrous deeds that he has wrought, his portents and his judgments he has uttered.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
He remembers forever his covenant, which he made binding for 1,000 generations, which he entered into with Abraham and by his oath to Isaac. He greatly increased his people and made them stronger than their foes, whose hearts he changed so that they hated his people and dealt deceitfully with his servants.
The Lord remembers his covenant forever.
He sent Moses, his servant, Aaron, whom he had chosen. They wrought his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritus tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. Verbum Domini. Yesterday's first reading mentioned the reluctance of Moses when God revealed himself in the burning bush. And God told Moses that he would send him to lead his people out of Egypt. And Moses replied, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the children of Israel out of Egypt?" And God promised him, "I will be with you." So today we continue with that account, and Moses asks God what he's to say to the Israelites if they ask him the name of the God of their fathers who sent him to them. We recall that Israel had been in the midst of the Egyptian culture for a few centuries already, 430 years. So the Egyptians, we know, were polytheists. So they were immersed in a polytheistic culture. They were used to hearing the names of many gods. And so Moses asked God, "What shall I say to them if they ask, who is the God that is sending me to them?" God replies by revealing, "I am who am. This is what you shall tell the children of Israel. I am sent me to you." So the Catechism notes that this divine name is mysterious, just as God is mystery. It is at once a name revealed and something like the refusal of a name. And hence it better expresses God as what he is, infinitely above everything that we can understand or say. For he is the hidden God. His name is ineffable. And he is the God who makes himself close to men. So this name also reveals God's faithfulness. God reveals himself as the God who is always there, always present to his people in order to save them. And in addition, this name, I am who am, reveals that God is the fullness of being, of every perfection, without origin, without beginning, without end. All creatures receive all that they are and have from him. So he's distinguishing himself as I am who am. I am existence itself, distinguished from the other lowercase g gods who are not. I am, they are not, right? They don't have existence of themselves. Those little statues and things are man-made. God is existence itself. He has no beginning. And we recall as well that Jesus would reference his own divine nature when he identified himself as well as I am. "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Right? And then the Jews took up stones to stone him. They knew he was identifying himself as God. He would also say, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am," right? When he's lifted up on the cross. And we hear in Mark's gospel that soldier at our Lord's death said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." And after God reveals himself to Moses in this way, he tells him how he is to carry out this mission. So first, he's to gather all the elders of the families who represent the people and tell them that God has appeared to him, and that he has taken notice of their suffering and will deliver them. So reminded, God is omniscient. He knows all things. He knew their condition. He knew their suffering. Moses then must go with the elders to Pharaoh and inform him that their God has met them, and they are to ask specifically for 3 days to leave to go to the desert for sacrifice. And this is very important. "Permit us to go that we may offer sacrifice." That's the main purpose. Right? It's been said this is the main goal of the book of Exodus. It's not just being delivered, but it's delivered in order to worship God. That's what it's about. We owe God worship, sacrifice. And of course, we know this will test Pharaoh, who will not let them go until he's forced to do so because of the plagues. But the fact that Pharaoh will refuse to let them go makes it clear that the Israelites, they gain their freedom not from Pharaoh, but from God. Right? It's God's almighty hand who delivers them. It's his almighty power. And in the gospel today, we hear the familiar words, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest." Jesus extends an invitation to us to find relief in our burdens. to come to him. That's how we find relief. We actually are more burdened to the degree that we distance ourselves from the Lord. He wants us to come to him to find our nourishment, to find our refreshment and our peace. He said, I will give you rest. He's the good shepherd. We recall what he does for us in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul, right? He gives rest, restoration to our souls. And the rest that he promises does not mean that he will take away all of our struggles and difficulties in life. But once we do draw near to him and take his yoke upon us, which is allowing him to take over, and we strive to live according to the gospel, we're freed from the burden of having to be in control of everything. That's a cause of great suffering and distress. We do not need to be in control of everything. And the sufferings that we do endure are made lighter and more bearable with the Lord's assistance. And he says, take my yoke upon you. One commentator noted that our Lord doesn't say that I will put my yoke upon you, but take my yoke upon you, right? It has to be a free decision. We have to take the yoke upon ourselves with his grace. He won't force it. He won't put it on us. And when we take the Lord's yoke upon ourselves, it certainly takes effort, but it doesn't crush us. It's a call to submit ourselves to the gospel, to the commandments, to heed the words of Christ and to imitate his life. And this leads to spiritual refreshment and an interior peace that surpasses all understanding, right, as St. Paul would put it. Our Lord also says to learn from him, for he is meek and humble of heart. Humility is the remedy for the capital sin of pride. Pride is having an inordinate esteem for ourselves. Father John Hardin listed some common ways in which pride may be expressed in our lives. And this is a good examination of conscience. By taking personal credit for gifts or possessions as if they were not gifts from God. By glorying in achievements as if they were not primarily the result of divine goodness and grace. By minimizing one's defects or claiming qualities that are not actually possessed. By holding oneself superior to others or disdaining them because they lack what the proud person has. And by magnifying the defects of others or dwelling on them. Right? We can easily tend to do that, and we certainly do not need to dwell upon the defects of others. We want to dwell upon the virtues of others. We want to dwell especially upon the virtues of the Lord, right? To imitate him. He said, come to me. We want to keep our eyes fixed on him. So we look to the example of the Lord today, who was truly meek and humble of heart, and we seek to imitate him. St. Augustine reminds us, the divine master was unwilling to teach what he himself was not. He was unwilling to command what he himself did not practice, and he certainly practiced humility, and we want to imitate him. So we pray today for the grace to grow in the virtue of humility and to persevere in the daily call to accept the Lord's invitation to come to him and to be refreshed, especially in the Holy Eucharist.